Welcome back, Flatlanders. The temperatures are heating up out here and folks are starting to hit the water quite a bit more. So we thought we would do an episode on year two of the Great Kansas Fishing Derby. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay.
And I'm Tana.
And today we're joined with David Breath, our sport fishing education coordinator. And let me tell you, he's a pretty cool cat fish.
Love that. Nice.
Can't help it.
AKA the aquatic ed guy here for any of those of you who have interacted with David in the past. David, we're really excited to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So you all, if David's voice sounds familiar, we were just teasing him. He has done a couple small bits on the radio before. He's the face of our aquatic education programs as well as the voice, so we're excited to have him today. So, David, if you don't mind, we want to get to know you a little bit better. So give us a little bit of introduction about maybe where you grew up and what your hobbies were as a kid.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Hayesville, Kansas, so I'm a local boy. I went to K-State to get my fisheries conservation and management degree. Graduated in 2008 and started working as a seasonal or temporary in the Wichita District office with Jessica Mounts. Did that for a couple of years and realized there was only about 18 fisheries biologists in the whole state and highly competitive, and most people didn't leave because they were happy. So I wanted to expand my career horizon, so I went back and gave K-State more money to get a wildlife degree. So I have a dual degree in fisheries and wildlife. Yeah, so I that transitioned into my first job as a chief park ranger at Elk City State Park. I was the chief because I was the only one, so I got to be the chief park ranger. And I loved it down there. I never been to that part of the state growing up. And so I got to go down and spend 5 years in southeast Kansas, surrounded by water. It was beautiful hiking areas down there. And I loved my job. I got to work with my hands. I got to work and learn how to use a tractor for the first time ever. Got to learn about plumbing and electricity. And then I also got to learn about interacting with people that are interacting with their outdoors. So they came to the park to recreate. They came to the park to enjoy fishing, boating, camping, hiking, and even hunting outside the park limits, of course. But I got to just have a good time down there. It was just really great. But my heart was always in fisheries. I grew up fishing. I was lucky enough to have two parents that were awesome, and they didn't know a lot about fishing themselves, but they supported my habit and then turned into a passion and maybe an obsession. I was really lucky to have them take me fishing all over the place. It seems like we always caught fish. Like, at least that's all I always remember. I don't remember any time we didn't catch fish, so I don't know if I blocked it out or what. But I got to my passion was fishing and fisheries, and so when a position opened up into fisheries in Pratt, I applied for it and got it. It was the fisheries program specialist, which coordinates all the programs behind the scenes, essentially. So the access programs, the stocking programs, and the habitat and management grants, and then the aquatic ed on top of that. In 2018, we realized that aquatic ed was taking up about 40% of my job and would take up more because the demand was there. So we split the position, and then I got to pick, do I want to stay and do the coordinating of the programs behind the scenes, or do I want to follow aquatic ed and actually be more out front and get more involved with the people that share my passion? So I chose that one, and that's how I became the sport fishing education coordinator.
I had no idea it had split off from another position. That's so cool.
Yep.
It is cool, and we got to give you some props, David. I know you're going to hate this. Sorry to do this to you on air. But, when we think about getting outdoors in Kansas, well, anywhere really, access becomes a huge component of that. And so, David, the programs that you coordinate and put so much of your heart and soul into, and I know there's a group of people that support you as well, and teammates even outside of the agency, but it makes a huge impact. So I just want to take the time to thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you.
And personally, I've seen David in action when he's leading a fishing clinic or a class, and he's pretty top-notch. Top-notch.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So maybe that's a great transition to talk about what we're here to chat about today, and that is the Great Kansas Fishing Derby. Dun, dun, dun.
Why did you do like the spooky sound?
I don't know. I thought that was an exciting sound. So David, if you would, talk to us a little bit about the Great Kansas Fishing Derby. What is it and how did it come to be?
The Great Kansas Fishing Derby just came about as an event that we as professionals get to travel around to conferences and get to do all sorts of meetings. And one of the states, Washington, had done a trout derby and had shown positive results. And they use trout because they, in Washington, actually raise them at their hatcheries. So they raise millions of them. They have easy access to them, and they stock them. So they decided to put some tags in them, get local sponsors, and see if they could get people to participate. And sure enough, they did. And so I thought, man, that's a great idea. You know, sometimes the best ideas aren't your own. You just have to adapt them to make them your own. So I presented that to our group in fisheries, and I said, hey, I really want to try something. And we came up with this Great Kansas Fishing Derby, where we, instead of tagging trout, because our best fishing seasons are between April and September, and we don't have year-round trout fisheries anymore, we decided to use more wild species that are out there. So you got your sport fish, like black basses, the white bass, wiper, the purseids, the walleye and sockeye, and then, of course, the catfish species and the sunfish species. And we said, let's go tag a bunch of them, and then we'll also put some additional stocked catfish in there, some stock channel catfish, to kind of get people maybe to catch fish a little sooner, get the excitement going, because, you know, stocked fish hadn't seen a bait, so they're a little more apt to bite. And then we threw in some wild cards, like some drum and some common carp, just because we knew there's anglers for that, and even if there's not, people catch them. So we wanted to say, hey, you know, anything could be worth a prize out there. So we got that going. We tagged a bunch of fish. We had our biologists go out there with our electrofishing boats, which they use predominantly to sample largemouth bass in the spring. And while they're out there, they were able to net some other fish while they're stunned with the electricity and put some tags in them. What they couldn't get that way, they set some nets, and we even had some that were hooked and lined. So they were already caught once before, so we knew they could get caught again.
And one of the really cool things about this program, David, that I really appreciate all the work you've done, is you've got, for these tags, local sponsorship. So this goes beyond just our agency, the fish, the resource, and the constituent that's out there fishing for them. This is full community support and engagement as well.
Absolutely. The sponsorship was key in making this work, I felt like. Couple reasons. One is, you know, we as an agency have limited funds and limited resources. And so if we were to put a derby on, you may only have, you know, a handful of prizes in each lake, or just a handful of lakes in general. So the biggest way to make a big impact, I felt, was to get local sponsors involved so we could increase the number of tags, increase the number of winners, and also increase the number of community engagement part, where we're having these businesses, these organizations, because it could be just individuals as well, promoting the derby, promoting fishing for us. And so it's kind of brings us back to the old days where, every bait shop knew the fishing report, and every gas station sold worms, and, all your neighbors fished. So you guys all talked about it all the time. So it's kind of a throwback to those days where we could get more people talking about fishing, and it's at a local place, so they don't have to drive very far. Easy shore access, go catch some fish, and maybe you'll win a prize.
So it sounds like there are a lot of prizes out there. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, there are lots of prizes.
So I'm curious, who all is eligible to participate in the fishing derby? Like, can I go out?
So unfortunately, you cannot, because you are an employee. Yeah. So we did exempt our employees, so no bias there, to where our staff is catching all the fish. So anyone could participate, as long as you have a fishing license, if you need one. So between the ages of 16 and 74, and you're not exempt for another reason, you need a fishing license to fish, so you'll need a fishing license to redeem a tagged fish. But other than that, it's just go out there and fish. Like we said, we had several different species caught, so it doesn't have to. You don't have to go out there and fish a specific way. You don't need a boat to get to them out in a big reservoir, because a lot of our lakes are smaller. However you want to fish, you can catch something. It can be, you know, hook, bobber, and worm. It can be, you know, power fishing for bass. It can be bottom fishing for catfish. You're probably going to have your bait in front of a fish at some point.
Great. So it sounds pretty simple. You just need your fishing pole and your bait, or whatever you're using, and a license, right?
That's it.
Easy peasy.
Awesome.
Now I'm a little bummed that I can't participate, but I'm still going to go out fishing anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
So, David, what do I do if I catch a tagged fish? What does that tag look like, and how do I remove it and redeem it?
Yeah, so the tag is pretty easy to identify. Most of them will be by the dorsal fin on top, on the fish's back. It'll just be a little plastic tag that sticks out. What you want to do is first take a picture with it. That's, we love seeing photos. That's something we can't get because we're not there with you, right? So we want you to go out there. If you catch a fish, take pride in it and take a picture. And then you can share it on social media and tag, use the hashtag KSFishDerby. And then when you submit a tag here in a second, I'll tell you how, you can include the photo. But what you'll do is you'll go to KSFishDerby.com. That's the website we created to manage the derby. So you can go there. First thing you see is redeem a tag. Click on that button and fill out the form, and that sends us an email, and then we'll get back to you on your prizes. So you can, what you'll do is you'll get a certificate through email that'll tell you exactly what the prize is, who the sponsor was, and how to redeem it.
So would you just pull it out?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Take the tag out. Yeah. Okay. We definitely want to do that. I always forget that part too. So yes, please remove the tag. We had some last year that they didn't remove the tag, and you can keep the fish if it's of harvest regulations, correct size and creel, or you can return it to the water, however you want to do it. But if you take the tag with you, we did have some last year where we had the same tag pop up a couple times, and I talked to them, and the first person that caught it didn't remove the tag. So that just shows you how easy these fish can be caught, that some were caught multiple times. So, but yeah, please take the tag out, and that way, you know, we have the exact amount of tags as we do prizes.
Nice. Okay.
It's worth noting too, when we talk about the tags, that there are a couple of other research projects that are either going on currently or have gone on in the past that utilize tagging as a mark recapture study. So if you do catch a tag and it doesn't specify KS Fish Derby, it might be a tag for something else. Whenever you catch a tagged fish, always be sure to look at that tag closely and follow the information that's on the tag. There might be a different location to report it for an additional study, etc. So keep that in mind.
And I'm sure we'll post a picture of what these tags specifically look like in our show notes for this episode.
Sounds good. Yes, that's a good point, that there are a lot of projects out there, and we do want to get those tag returns back. So even if it doesn't say KS Fish Derby, it's important, and please reach out to someone that you caught one.
Awesome. And then let's talk a little bit about those prizes. So you said you'll get a certificate at first, and that's just kind of your confirmation, like, yes, your tag was valid, it's been redeemed, here's what to expect. What are some prize examples, David?
Yeah, so this year we got some really good ones. Last year we had some really good ones too. And I'll start by saying that in our first year, we had early on, we had Kansas Wildscape Foundation and Bass Pro and Cabela's through their Bass Pro Cabela's Outdoor Fund as our early sponsors. They came on at the beginning and said, hey, we believe this is going to work. We were really excited about it. We're here to help. And theoretically, we could have done it with just those two. We were very willing to put up enough prizes and money to make it happen. But again, that didn't address the issue of getting communities involved and getting local sponsorship and local commerce going back to those communities. So we did, of course, reached out to more. Again, this year they reached out and said, yeah, we're here for year two. You know, let's make this work. We thought it was a good investment the first year. We're going to do it again this year. So I really want to thank them for being our initial partners in this. But thankfully, we've expanded beyond them, so the burden is shared, or the excitement is shared, if you want to say that. yeah, we have some really cool ones. If you go to ksfishderby.com, it will have all of our sponsors listed through their logos. Please, again, visit them, and please thank them. For even if you didn't catch a fish, thank them because it exists because they have sponsored. But we have some really good ones. So we have some experiences this time. Last time we had mostly products for food or restaurants or just product in general in a store. Mm-hmm. And this time we got a couple other ones. We got some experiences. We have a sponsor up near Paola, KC Water Sports, I believe. They are sponsoring a cable wakeboarding session, which I didn't even know we had in Kansas, that we had cable wakeboarding. That is awesome. Like,
what is cable wakeboarding?
Yeah, so like they have a cable, so you don't have a boat, and you have so you're hooked to a cable, and you can learn how to wakeboard that way.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's how it is there. I did some Googling, and was like, what is this? So this is awesome. So, yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, I'd have been all about that. Nowadays, not so much. But yeah, that's a really cool deal. We've got some zoos and the Cedar Cove Conservatory and Education Center that are – come on out and see some awesome animals and with your family. We've got some cabin stays and lodging at several places. We have the Whiskey Myers Firewater Music Festival sponsored a bunch of tickets this year. So, which I, again, didn't know it existed. And I looked it up, and it's right outside of Kansas City. They kind of get some areas out there, and they have this big open concert series. It's pretty sweet. So
that sounds so fun.
Yeah, so it's really neat. So and then we had, you know, cold hard cash. People liked cash, so we've got some sponsors that said, "Hey, you know, I may not have a product to offer, but I like what you're doing, and I'll give some money away if someone catches the tag." That's so awesome. So yeah, again, I know I left a lot off, and so please go to our website and take a look at all of our sponsors and thank them again if you're in their area, even if you don't catch a fish.
Speaking of the KansasFishDerby.com, that website, what else can our constituents learn while they're on the site? What else is what other resources are there?
Yeah, so we tried to fill it with everything they would need to know to get started fishing, and then as well as getting started fishing for the Derby or fishing for tagged fish. So we have information on there related to how to get your fishing license. We have the locations listed on there in map form as well as a downloadable PDF. We have some frequently asked questions with answers on there. And then we have kind of a cool little note where it's actually, you can view it in both English and Spanish. So it's got that translation. So we want to make sure as many people can participate as possible.
I want to speak to that translation.
Yeah, go for it.
If you don't mind. So guys, this is really cool and really important. We've talked a little bit, or at least mentioned some of our language access programs like Fuera para Todos, where we want to ensure that, like David said, this information is accessible to the broadest constituency it possibly can be. So that information is there on the website in Spanish. It's the exact same website, so it's not a condensed version, and it's a toggle where you can just click over to the Spanish site. That has been professionally translated. It's not a Google Translate toggle or widget. We've taken the time and, you know, contracted through third parties to have that professionally translated. So we're really proud of that, and we hope that people use it. It's important to us, important to our mission, and hopefully important to our constituents as well. Thanks. I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, thank you. Thank you for the information.
Okay, so we've got awesome prizes and resources to get started. Tell us a little bit more about the Derby itself, like how many lakes are participating, how many fish are out there, tags sticking out of them.
So I guess I'll start by saying that we looked at, in 2021, we did our first initial Derby. That was when we launched it. We were very cautious about it because of course, the COVID pandemic and our restrictions that we weren't sure, you know, what the summer was going to look like. So we cautiously dipped our toe in this, and we put it out there, and we said, "Hey, there's an event. You know, we're going to do our best to promote it as best we can internally using Facebook and our news releases and our just old word of mouth." And we started out with 35 lakes, and these lakes were chosen because they were close to population centers. They were quality fisheries that people could go there and have a good experience. That we knew that there's fish in there. They don't always bite, but they are in there, and there was access. So we know that about 80-some percent of our constituency fishes from the shore. So even if they have a boat, they still fish from the shore a lot of the time. So we wanted to make sure that all our locations had adequate shoreline access to give everyone a fair shot. We did include one of our big reservoirs, Cedar Bluff, which is a nice, pretty reservoir out there. And it's just mainly because there's not a lot of water out in western Kansas. So we had to pick and choose where we could. But so we picked these 35 lakes. We ended up having 30 total sponsors, which meant we had 515 total tagged fish. This year, we wanted to expand a little bit. We knew we couldn't go full bore and do all, you know, 400 lakes out there that are out there for public fisheries, but we wanted to expand as best as we can, and based on our support that we got back, we were able to add 5 more lakes, which meant 5 more counties. We only had 30 counties last year. We have 35 counties now. With a lake in a Derby contest water in their county. We have over 700 tags in the water, so 700 prizes. Last year, our total value was about $10,000. This year, it's over $20,000 swimming around in Kansas.
Wow. So when we talk about the goal, or we think about the goal of this program, you know, our listeners, we've mentioned in the past recruitment, retention, reactivation. So trying to get more folks into the outdoors and keep them involved. David, in your opinion, this program and the way it was designed, that's really more on the recruitment and retention scale. Does it touch reactivation as well?
Yeah, that's what's great about this is, so we learned in 2020 that the number one driver of people fishing is time. There's nothing that affects people's ability to go fishing more than time. So unfortunately, that's one thing that we as an agency cannot give you. We cannot give you more time to go fishing, but we can give you reasons to go fishing. So this derby was one of those reasons to go fishing. If you hadn't got into it, or if after, you know, 2020 passed and we're now more open as a, you know, our businesses are going and schools are going and team sports, if this is a reason to get you fishing, that's awesome. That's what it's for. So if you didn't get on board in 2020, then yeah, it's definitely a recruitment idea. It's for people that, you know, they maybe had the time, didn't have the time, but nonetheless, it wasn't enough to get them fishing. And now they have an idea where it turned into a competition. It turned into more something more than just going out there. And then, yeah, it's definitely recruitment. Retention and keeping people fishing is always important, because you don't want to lose that avid customer base that supports what you're doing and will you know, support you financially by buying licenses, of course. So you want to make sure to keep it interesting for them. So definitely retention was a big driver of trying to do this as well. But I actually do think it touched on reactivation. A lot of people, they you know, fish early, I mean, they're in teens and late early 20s, and then life happens and things get busy. And then you always think, well, I'll go fishing next year. And then all of a sudden this derby comes along, and maybe this was the year that got you back in the game, got you bringing your family out that you've probably created in the years, or your friend group, your professional cohorts together and just going fishing. So I believe it touched all three, which is really important when it comes to actually trying to move the needle on getting participation back to where it used to be.
And programs like this are so important because, as you pointed out in your notes prior to the show, prior to COVID, license participation had declined by approximately 30% since its peak in the early 70s, while obviously the state population has continued to increase over the same period. So we need to make sure that fishing participation stays up, because that is, of course, tied to license sales. And David, jumping around a little in the conversation, but before we move on to measurements, tell us why those license sales are so, so important.
Real quick, before we go into license sales and the funding sources, just to put a bow on that 30% decline, we actually had we estimated about a 30% increase in license sales in 2020. Most states did have an increase in 2020, but we made, when the numbers come out, we'll come out later this fall, we may have been number one in the nation when it comes to increase. So if we're not number one, we're definitely going to be at the very top. And so but that 30% was, you know, on the new number of our lowest numbers. So we didn't recoup everybody we lost in the last, you know, 50, 60 years as far as participation, but we went the right direction, which was awesome.
That's awesome. And yeah, not to say that was all because of the Derby, but I just want to talk about those long-term trends. And we hope that the Derby contributed to that. And we'll talk a little bit later about how David measured it. But yeah, back to the importance of those licenses.
Yeah, so back to license sales. So our fisheries division specifically, mostly our agency, but definitely our fisheries division, is license fee funded, which means essentially we're revenue funded, and our revenue is our license fees. So if you purchase a license, you're contributing to the success of the fisheries division directly with that purchase. Also, we receive grants, and the biggest source of funding for our grants is the Sport Fish Restoration Fund. And so that is a collection of monies from excise taxes paid by the manufacturers of fishing tackle and equipment, and motorboat fuel tax, a percentage of that. And there's some other contributors, but those are the two big ones. And so what happens is states compete for that share of money by the number of licensed anglers they have. So the more anglers we have, the bigger piece of the pie we can get. Also, the more anglers, the bigger the pie is to get. So you can kind of see it's definitely interconnected. So you know, having license participation and not just participation with, you know, free fishing weekends or stuff like that, that's what drives our ability to stock more fish, do the research, sample and provide that data that people want to know, you know, where the best bass fishing is in a given year. All that is driven by license sales. So that's why we need that participation numbers up.
Yeah. And a healthy fishery, you know, is interconnected with a healthy aquatic habitat in general. And whether or not you're an angler, most, if not all of us, enjoy at least going out to the water, exploring, seeing the wildlife that interacts. We all enjoy clean drinking water and having access to that. So even if you're not an angler or don't necessarily love to get out and fish, You know, I can't necessarily relate, but consider buying a fishing license and contributing to that fund, because we all do benefit from the management of those resources.
Absolutely. And like some of our programs we talked about, Access, actually go to help communities provide fisheries. So those nice parks that have nice clean water with fountains and angling access and places that you can go picnic and stuff, those are also supplemented, as long as it's a fishery as well, of course, where we're helping them provide that. So it goes right back into your community, not just, you know, some lake in distant part of the state.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love hearing about that. And I wish I could buy like 10 fishing licenses, but I can really only have one.
There you go.
So yeah, be sure to get out there and get your license, and then you can participate in the Derby. David, I'm curious, how did you measure the success of the Derby last year? Like what did you learn from that whole experience?
I learned a lot. I learned more than I thought I would ever learn about, you know, an event, that especially one that I planned. And I thought, like, you know, I came up with it and I was like, wow, this was quite the undertaking when I thought I was just going to go out there and do a simple contest. So the first thing we did is we actually contracted with Southwick Associates to evaluate the program, which is pretty unique to do in the first year of a program. You know, a lot of times you kind of let things, you know, grow a little bit, and then you come back and you say, okay, what can we improve upon? But because this event does have universal reach, in the sense that it can affect every aspect of this agency, as well as any person out there in Kansas, we definitely wanted to make sure that we were on the right track, even after the first year. So we contracted with them, and they looked at a couple things, license participation, and also surveys and just feedback and general emotions of how people felt about it. We did have a measurable increase in license sales during that 3-month window. It, of course, didn't increase the license sales overall in the state. Smaller sample size, again, only 30 counties. And so you're looking at, you know, just a small sample size. So the effect on that wasn't enough to change the course of the state's decline in fishing participation. But it did have a measurable positive impact, which is awesome. And enough so that the return on investment showed positive. So we weren't losing money. We weren't, you know, misusing monies where we feel like, hey, you should be spending it on something else. We actually came out ahead. So it was a good investment, I believe, in my opinion. And the second part of the surveys, start out by saying only 10% of the survey respondents were dissatisfied, quote unquote, with the Derby, which I know in our line of work, if you can have 90% of the people agree with what you're doing, that's pretty good. So you kind of know you're on the right track and you want to keep growing. We did have the biggest impact to license sales or participation with the demographics of 18 to 34-year-olds and women, which are, I'm not a business person or a marketing person, but I do know that's important. I do know those are our key demographics when it comes to trying to, move the needle on what you want to do as a, you know, program. 84% of the respondents fished with somebody, which is awesome, because it's not just about going out there and winning a prize for yourself. You know, you actually increase your group's ability to win if the more people you take. So, you know, your neighbor, your child, or, you know, your best friend could be, yeah.
Yeah. Ineligible.
So it increases your chances of seeing a Derby, and then, or seeing a Derby fish, catching a tagged fish during the Derby. And when you know a winner, you feel like there's a better chance that you can win. And so that's what we wanted to see. We wanted to see that social aspect of people fishing together.
And maybe you need to use that as like a token if you've got, like, maybe you don't have wheels, or I know gas money is expensive right now, but you tell your buddy, like, hey man, if you take me out fishing, or if we get a group together, I will split my prize winning with you, or I'll share whatever I win. That might be what it takes to get out on the water.
Definitely. That's a good point. I could say most of our, you know, prizes will be shareable somehow. So they either come in, you know, packs of more than one, or, you know, cash is always splittable.
Take me wakeboarding.
There you go.
Ineligible.
Yes, right.
Back at me. That's what I get.
The one thing about it, again, in 2021, we were cautious. We wanted to, I say we were crawling, and then, you know, this year we're walking. But we wanted to put it out there and just get the word out and let people know what's going on, but we didn't market it. And even then, we had about 30% of the respondents that we sent surveys to know about the Derby in some form. So, you know, that's, again, another reason why maybe the license sales weren't as impactful as they could have been. So, you know, we took that into account for this year. But overall, we did have a comment section and the feedback was 99% positive, which again is great. The number one asks, or number one, two, and three asks, were more and closer lakes, longer duration, and more tags. And I frankly, I can't blame them. I mean, that's what you would want, right? In a competition. So we did have some negative comments where we had some people just say, hey, why do you want to get more people fishing? Fishing's already crowded. Like, I already can't get to my favorite spot. And I know you've had a past episode where you talked about crowding and perceptions versus reality. And, you know, if you go on a nice spring day on a Saturday when everybody's off work or out of school and you go fishing, yes, your fishing hole's probably a little crowded. If you go during a spawning season where the, you know, the crappie are up on the bank and everyone's out there, it's probably a little crowded. But, you know, most of the days out there in a year, it's not that crowded, you know. And the one thing about it is, again, we had almost 100,000 more anglers in the 70s than we do now. We have tens of thousands more acres open to the public, and we have hundreds of miles of more stream fishing available. So we have more water than ever before that you can access, and we stock more fish than ever before. So we can accommodate an increase in licensed or increase in participation, period. So, you know, just understand that some days, you know, when you want to go fishing, everybody else does too. So maybe you just have to, you know, find a different spot or try a little harder to catch those fish if they get pressured.
Yeah. And then another point with that too is like the more anglers we have out fishing legally, fishing, participating, buying a license, et cetera, the more money is available to fund some of those programs as well. So like if we want more access, it's kind of like a chicken before the egg conversation. So getting more anglers out is extremely important. And also we don't want to gatekeep the waters. This is a resource that is public and available to everyone. And so we want to make sure that all folks can access it. It's extremely important. And we want to get new folks out there and let them fall in love with the same sport that you know and love.
Yeah, exactly. And personally, I find that the fish bite better on cloudy, rainy days.
There you go. Yeah, that's what most of us say. Yeah, that storm systems or low pressure and pressure changes in general seem to drive those feeding habits of fish for sure.
So, David, the Derby officially launched on May 15th for 2022. So for this year, we are live and running. And that runs through September 15th. How does this year's Derby compare to last year's?
Yeah, so again, we used our feedback. We used the evaluation to try to address some inadequacies or some shortcomings that we had in the first Derby. Again, we're a bunch of biologists or education specialists, and weren't sure what to do to make this 100%. So we wanted to evaluate it and figure that out. And so we did extend it for two extra months. So we, instead of going from May 1st to July 31st last year, we're going from May 15th to September 15th this year. So that's all three holidays. So hopefully we'll get a lot more, you know, participation as far as just throughout the summer, and people will enjoy that fact. You can't hold it 365 days. Eventually it has to end sometime. So we did capture the majority of the fishing season though.
But two whole months, that's incredible. Usually when events like this get extended, it's like by a week or two. 2 months is just astronomical, and I'm so excited to see what comes out of it.
Yeah, thank you for that. The other goal we had was, of course, trying to meet those requests of increasing our number of tags and increasing our number of lakes. But like we discussed at the beginning, is that this was 99.9% driven by sponsorships and local sponsors and support. So when we put out there that we wanted to do this again, we shared some information with some communities that we missed the first year, again, knowing we could not do all 105 counties. We tried to target some more counties that were access to really good fisheries or public population centers to where we could actually, you know, serve as many people as possible. We ended up adding five more lakes and five more counties. So now we have a total of 40 again. And almost every location has 20 tags. So, you know, like I said, you're looking at close to 700 to 800 tags in the water at this time. Now, with that being said, if a sponsor was to come back and say, hey, I'd like to put some extra tags in the water, that's not off limits. So, you know, who knows? By the end of the summer, we could have 1,000 tags in the water. You just don't know. And all you can do is first, you know, contact me at the office here at the Pratt office, or go through our, actually the best way to do that is to go through the ksfishderby.com website and submit a sponsor request. That's the best way to get to me.
Absolutely. So you heard it here. If you want more tags, get in touch with your local retailers, approach these local businesses. It doesn't have to be outdoor related businesses. Like David said, there have been restaurants in the past, event based sponsors as well. Approach those folks and say, hey, get involved in the Great Kansas Fishing Derby because I want a fish catch win.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better myself. The other things we did, some people asked why we weren't providing, easily providing the fish species that are tagged in each one. It was mostly because we weren't sure until we got them all tagged what they were going to be. But we did better this year. So we got them up. It's on our fishing report. It's on our lake pages if they don't have a fishing report for that particular water. But the species that are tagged are on that list. So you'll know exactly what to target. And finally, and probably most importantly, we had a dedicated marketing budget for this year. And so thankfully we have a really great team that's been building over the years internally here with our public affairs section. And now we have, you know, marketing person, we have digital media, we have all kinds of things. I don't even know what they're doing anymore over there because it's not my world, but it's amazing to see what's been churning out lately. But I got to work with them to help develop more behind the scenes stuff internally. And so that saved us money, and we were able to put that towards marketing. So I know my Facebook especially has been inundated with this Derby ads, and I'd be shocked if at the end of the year, if we had asked that question, did you hear about the Derby, we don't have at least 80% that say, yeah, I saw something about it. I actually blocked the ad because it was too much, you know. So then I already knew about it, and I'm already fishing. So, but no, it's really great to see the, see it out there in the world, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And another cool thing about the Great Kansas Fishing Derby is that there are multiple chances to win, correct? And yes. I think, in fact, you can enter your information on the Derby website and get entered for a second chance at the raffle, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually had 105 tags redeemed last year. So of the 515 or so, there was 105 redeemed. So about 20% of the fish were caught. But we had 119 total winners because we held weekly drawings we didn't have marketing. So we decided we're just going to push prizes out and maybe people will learn about the Derby that way. And then at the end of the year, we had another drawing, another round of drawings to where we gave away prizes. So we're doing the same thing again this year. We're not doing weekly drawings because we did extend it and we're trying to, you know, push more budget towards the actual tags and marketing as well. But we will every once in a while, random date and time, we'll host a drawing from that information. And so a lot of the prizes are bigger prizes. Most of them were anywhere between $50 to $150 in prizes on those drawings because they were, you know, tackle packages with a rod and reel, or they were $100 gift cards that were sponsored by our sponsors. So it was really cool. And then at the end of the year, we had lots of good prizes given away, and including that, this year we're going to do a lifetime hunting and fishing license for all anglers who redeem a tag. So you have to catch a tag, invalid tag, and redeem it properly. And then that enters you automatically into the drawing. It's only one per winner. So if you catch five tags, it doesn't mean you have five entries. You still only get one. But yeah, at the end of the year, we'll draw a name, and someone like won maybe a $20 gift card could walk away with almost $1,000 lifetime license. So
David, we're in year two now. What do you see being what are the long-term hopes for the program?
Yeah. I mean, I believe when I presented this information, and again, I say I, but it was really, I presented it, but it was not my effort to make this happen. It's been a huge team effort across the agency. I was thinking, as an angler growing up, I would have loved for this to exist. And so I think ultimately I would like to see it last as long as possible. That's really contingent, again, on what we've been talking about. We got, and support across our agency to make sure it's serving our mission. We want to make sure we're financially sound because we want to use their money responsibly. And of course, sponsor popularity. If our sponsors are happy and they're continually coming back and saying, we want to do this, then we'll keep doing it. So as long as those three things, and of course our anglers are happy, we hope. And so as long as those things are in play, I can see this thing going for a while. But when it comes down to it, I know we talk a lot about license participation and stuff. We just really want to see people fishing. So, this is a reason for people to go. We know that from several human dimension studies that people go fishing for several reasons, but most of them are to relax, connect with the outdoors, spend time with family, and catching a fish is usually not even the top five. So hopefully during the Derby, they're out there experiencing all those, deciding what makes them fish. You know, the Derby might have got them to commit to fishing or invest in fishing, but what's going to keep them fishing? And hopefully they figure that out while they're out there. And so that's really just the goal. Someday the Derby will cease to exist, but those experiences and memories will not.
Powerful. Oh my gosh.
Excuse me, I'm just crying over here.
No kidding. So before the show, we kind of put our heads together and came up with a list of how our listeners can help support the Derby. So Lindsay and I are going to kind of read through these in rapid fire succession. So the first way you can help is participate and invite someone new to join you.
You can share it on social media and help promote among your friends and local communities.
You could also sponsor tags and or donate prizes if you're an organization or business owner, or like we said earlier, talk to your local businesses about getting involved in the Derby.
Send us your photos and tag us in your posts. We want to see you out there.
Ugh, as always, respond to surveys and help us get better data to further improve the Great Kansas Fishing Derby.
And last but certainly not least, buy your fishing license.
So, David, we've chatted about that funding and we've chatted about some of the challenges that it took to get this program off the ground. I'm curious now, so far, what's been the most rewarding aspect of the Derby for you?
So I get asked that quite often as far as just like, why do I do my job? That's kind of how I'm relating this question. Why do I do my job? And it's really because I get a chance to impact the sport that I love so much. And I get to ensure others get to experience it the way I do. Like, that's what I think about every day when I come to work, when I tackle a project or I try to think about ways to help people fish. I just think about getting people outside and enjoying what I love to do as well, or sharing that passion of what I love to do growing up. Through this process, I got to see that excitement and passion for fishing reflected in the partners and colleagues that I got to work with. So I got to see, you know, their excitement and the idea of getting people fishing and sharing the sport, and also just learning. I mean, I learned so much from our different colleagues, or you know, colleagues out there, whether it be, you know, like I said, marketing and social media, recruitment and retention and reactivation, and our R3 coordinator, our human dimensions and our access programs, and even our biologists. I got to talk to some of our biologists I never got to talk to before, just because we were bouncing ideas off of how to actually make this work with our limited staff and resources, our hatchery, you know, working with them. And then working across our division, I got to meet some people I never met before and got to talk to them and just really enjoyed it. That has been really rewarding for me, because sometimes we get in our bubbles and we forget that we do have a great support system right here in our agency.
So on the other side of that reward coin is the challenges. So what has been the biggest challenge in getting this project off the ground?
Time. I know it's been already said once before about how demanding it is, or how it's the undefeated champion of limitations, but time is it. I knew this would take up big parts of my day and my weeks, but I didn't realize just how overwhelming it could be to cultivate partnerships, rework logistics to make sure they're working and keep things updated. And then it was just overwhelming some days. The goals and scope of the Derby expand far beyond our fisheries division, and actually probably even expand far beyond our agency, just because of the partners we're creating. So finding champions across the agency and collaborating with them was the only way this happened, and I'm glad it did.
So what else do you want our listeners to know about the Derby? Any parting thoughts for them?
Just that, you know, we want to reiterate that if you want to see programs like this in the future, we hope you're participating. Taking people fishing is the best way to do it. And then, you know, of course, making that commitment to invest in a fishing license or fishing equipment, so that way our funding sources continue to grow. But just getting fishing is what really matters. Anglers play a pivotal role in supporting this effort. And so, and sponsor engagement and appreciation. Get out there and make sure that you're thanking them when you go into their stores and you're collecting your prize, or just visiting them to buy gas or buy a meal or whatever.
And so for any of our anglers that are looking for a place to fish this summer, you mentioned that those Derby locations are listed on the Derby website. But for those that are just looking to fish in general, will you remind them about some of KDWP's access-related programs and resources?
Yeah, definitely. So our Communities Fisheries Assistance Program, or CFAP, CFAP, is what we use to work with communities and municipalities to open their waters to public fishing in lieu of charging additional license fees. So you'll see a lot of them out there where we work with the community. You know, they manage the property. They're the ones providing the landscaping and the access as far as, you know, maintaining the roads and stuff. But we're able to actually go in there and help manage the water. So either stocking programs or habitat programs, we're able to provide quality fishing, you know, in your community versus having to travel, you know, miles and miles away. Our walk-in fishing access, newly renamed WEFAW, is what we do, where we go into private landowners. And so it's similar process where we reach out to private landowners and we say, hey, can we have access to your fishery? And we'll pay you a license payment so you don't, you know, you can let people come out there and fish. So we have some of that as well. And all those locations can be found in our fishing atlas. So it lists all public locations, including river access and stream access. So if it's listed in there, you do have public access to those waters. Our fishing regulation summary is so important. You definitely need to download it to your phone or go get a copy, a hard print copy somewhere at a tackle retailer or one of our offices. Any regulation that comes to mind, the most common ones, the ones you're going to face every day, are listed in there if you have questions. Plus it has fish identification pictures where you can learn, you know, what a fish looks like, so make sure you know what you're catching. It also has all our locations listed to where you can see what's actually in there. So if you go to a specific lake expecting to catch, you know, walleye, for instance, but it doesn't have any in there, you might want to go try somewhere else. So, you know, that, and plus it has all our program information. So it has phone numbers for game wardens. It's got phone numbers for biologists. It's got my phone number in there. It's got the access program coordinator's phone number in there. So we're not hard to find.
Absolutely. And another really cool thing about our regulation summary is that it is available in English and in Spanish. And again, it's a full version in Spanish as well. So it can be really useful if you want to use it in your classrooms. Like, let's say you are a Spanish teacher and just want to share that with your students. That's a phenomenal resource. We would love to get you copies for that. If maybe you live in a bilingual household, you can use copies for that as well. Really, really exciting. It can help as well as far as any communication barriers between our game wardens and our constituencies. Those are completely mirrored copies. So the paragraph you point to in the English version is the same paragraph you point to in the Spanish version. And we felt that was really important, and we're really proud to offer that resource.
Okay, David, so we're starting to wrap up the episode. We have just a few questions for you, and we try to ask all of our guests these. And our first one is, what keeps you up at night?
Yeah, so as a fan of the podcast, I knew these questions were coming. So I really thought about it, and I was like, wow, you know, what keeps me up at night? I was like, I don't know, bills? I boiled it down to, I feel like we were on a path as a society to have a real big disconnect between humans and our environment and fishing. You know, that's what I consider my environment. So I really saw we were trending towards that direction. And of course, you know, COVID happened and we had a resurgence. And so, but before that, you know, there were fewer anglers than there has ever been before in Kansas. And this means fewer people are experiencing the outdoors and understanding previously innate lessons of natural resources and conservation. Plus, we all know that hunters and anglers are the largest contributors due to license sales and the Wildlife Sport Fish Restoration Funds. So they're the largest contributors to conservation. And if the disconnect continues happening and people step away from nature, aren't recreating and interacting with it as they used to, that means that funding is continually reduced. And if it continues to get reduced or another source is found, I often wonder, what does that mean for the use and recreation of our natural resources? And you know, will fishing and anglers still be important considerations and for that? So that's kind of what I think about, because I want to make sure that, you know, I can go fishing tomorrow, I can go fishing when I retire, you know, at 85 or whatever. So, you know, I want to make sure I can still fish then. So I want to make sure future generations can as well. So that's kind of what I worry about. And so that's why efforts like this, or the efforts that I make in my job, are trying to bridge that gap.
I definitely, truly think you're making a difference, and the data shows that as well. So I hope that helps you rest a little easier.
Thank you.
So what about, what are you most excited about when you think about the future of outdoor conservation and or fisheries management and education?
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned it just a little bit ago, in that rejuvenation where we saw people that used to fish all the time come back to the fold, and then we had a bunch of new people sign on board. And then we saw article after article after article talking about the health benefits, both mental and physical, of being outside and fishing. So there was a rejuvenation. There is a movement right now to maybe reevaluate our values and make sure we get outside more, even if it's not fishing. And so what makes me excited about that is we've been building a staff. We had a staff dedicated to, you know, fisheries management. That have been doing a lot of good work that's been behind the scenes for a long time. You know, we had that if you build it, they will come mentality. And in 2020, people, you know, came in droves, and we saw what that happened. You know, got to experience our awesome fisheries that our managers are providing and our hatcheries are supporting through our fish stockings. And now we have dedicated teams of staff that can work to continue that motivation, to continue that engagement. So hopefully we'll see our efforts bear fruit in the coming years, and we can actually see a population of our participation, trend, you know, back up and get more people engaged in fishing.
Okay. Last one. What would you pose as a challenge or a goal for our listeners?
Simple, just go fishing. Simple enough. I know, right? We talk about time and money and all and cost of gas right now, but if you can just go fishing as much as you can and take someone with you, you're making a difference, I promise. As stated, you know, anglers are footing the bill for most of our programs. And we often hear people say that, you know, fishing's not any good. I'll buy a license when it gets better. And, you know, sometimes it's a local deal where just the, you know, some lakes are better than others at a certain point in history. But it's not buying a license is the exact opposite of what you want to do if you want to see better fishing. The only way to accomplish that is by getting more people involved, first by contributing, by buying a license, and second by participating in meetings or just talking to your local biologist and ask them, you know, tell them what's going on at the lake, you know, give them, you know, tell them how you could help make it better. You can volunteer for habitat work. You can, you know, be a fishing reports, you know, reporter. You can just call them in and say, hey, you know, this is what the fish are biting on, and getting more people excited about going fishing because they know the fish are biting. You know, there's not much else you can do in life for the cost of a fishing license. And, you know, it's funny to think about, but as a bonus, it actually gets less expensive the more you use it.
So. I love that. Well, David, it has been an awesome conversation. We knew it would be. Thank you so much for joining us to chat about the Great Kansas Fishing Derby and for all of your hard work managing the Derby and getting it off the ground. It never hurts to have an extra excuse to get out on the water and share the outdoors with friends and loved ones and our communities. So thank you again.
Yeah, and thank you for having me today to talk about this. And thank you to everybody who helped with this effort, you know, across our agency as well as our sponsors, and thank you to all the anglers out there that help provide awesome fishing in Kansas.
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more about the Great Kansas Fishing Derby, brought to you by the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks and sponsored by the Kansas Wildscape Foundation, the Bass Pro Cabela's Outdoor Fund, and many other local retailers across Kansas, be sure to check out the website at ksfishderby.com. Thank you again to all of our generous donors and sponsors. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you.
Well, folks, that pretty well wraps up our conversation for today. So go get out on the water, fish, catch, win, and remember that flat
is a state of mind.
Flatlander Podcast is made possible through a partnership between the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks and the Kansas Wildlife Federation. Sound and production by Megan Mayhew. Music by Kansas locals, The Box Turtles. Become a member of KWF for free by visiting kansaswildlifefederation.org. And be sure to follow KWF on Facebook at Kansas Wildlife Federation and on Instagram at KS Wildlife Fed. Stay up to date on all things KDWP by following the department on Facebook at Kansas Wildlife and Parks and on Instagram at The KDWP. Remember, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks is supported by flatlanders like you through the sale of licenses and permits. Consider buying a hunting or fishing license today to conserve and protect the wild spaces and faces that make Kansas more than flyover country.